Geeks Hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, living the dream, 580 KIDO, 580KIDO.com. Lots of great information there. We invite you to join our Insiders Club. In fact, you can play games at our website, get points, and win free prizes. No purchase necessary. Just our way of encouraging you once again to join the all-access club, the VIP club, the 580 club, if you will. And thank you for joining us. Want to remind you of something. You know, it's been a while. The last time we did an event on State Street, it was for the St. Vincent de Paul's thrift store. Remember that? We did that right before Thanksgiving. I believe that was 3 years ago. Well, we return to State Street coming up this week, this Friday. I'd like to see all of you out there. Why? We're going to call it Second Amendment Friday, and this is in honor of Lionheart Tactical celebrating its official grand opening. Now, we always support people that support us, and unlike everyone else, I want to tell sponsors of this program, like our friends at Tway Travel, that I use when I travel, that you get more than, well, than your average, there you go, there's your commercial. We value our sponsors. We value our listeners, and look, we want to thank Lionheart Tactical for inviting us for their grand opening celebration. They're going to have store-wide savings until 8 o'clock. And remember, as inflation goes, as everything else goes, you want to make sure that you get some affordable ammunition, some affordable firearms. In fact, I was joking with my dad last night, and he's on his way home now, he and my mom, and he goes, well, what's your plan? I said, I'm going down with the ship. He goes, not me. I've got my go bag. I've got my ammunition. And if you believe as my dad does, or you just want to defend the fort or yourself, join us this Friday at Lionheart Tactical. Some great deals, big savings until 8 o'clock. We're going to have firearm and safety demonstrations during the program. Our friends at Merritt's Family Restaurant will have some scones, so we'll be well fed. Lionheart Tactical, where is it? Good question. West State Street, owned and operated by a disabled veteran. Who sells only what experience and trial has shown to work, so you're not going to get someone trying to upsell you for some type of fancy-dancy item that may or may not work. So, again, Friday, 5 to 9, take the day off, come in late. We'd love to see you and save some big money at Lionheart Tactical. And, I thank these folks for having faith in us, because just like you, and this is just some inside to the business, and you know, Sean Hannity alludes to this all the time on his program. Just like you, you have a lot of choices on who or what you listen to. People that buy time, buy advertising on this program in particular, have a lot of choices. You've got Fickle and Uncle Huckerstein on the FM channels. It's Bill and Beth. And hey, everybody, we can get 100 people to say, now, do they know what Bill and Beth said, or can they quote the songs or what have you? No, they're, you know, and then there's my friend Crazy, not Crazy, but Good Time Charlie and others. But I want to let you know, whether it's our friend from McDowell's, they listen, from our friends from Tway Travel that listen. To other folks that listen to this program, that I appreciate your investment in us. You know, our friend's Mr. Ness. He's a great guy. I know him personally. And that's the difference that you get here as opposed to other places. So, again, a personal aside, let's get to the business at hand, because, again, I'm honored to have people that are with us. You know, the station, thankfully, is running a promo that we're a finalist for the Marconi Award. What is it? It goes to the radio personality around the nation. Syndicated, Rush Limbaugh talks about it. Sean has won it several times. Glenn as well. Dave Ramsey. That has, you know, has demonstrated this, this, and this. And they have them in major markets, large markets, media market, which is what we are here. And it's in all formats. So it's not just talk radio, but we are a finalist for that. And what that means is we've been recognized across the country for our reflecting of your values, your donations to the Canyon County Animal Shelter, your work for the Boise Rescue Mission, our attempts to get Idaho back to work, going back to school. I look at this, and by the way, we'll have a video of it. It's at KIDO AM Boise right now on that Facebook page, but we'll put it on at 580KIDO today in the Kevin Miller page. I look at that work, and I marvel at you. I look at that work, and I marvel at the giving. And too many times in this business, in our business of communication, we fail to remember people that have made a difference. And on my nightstand at home, I have a letter that was given to me by a Vietnam veteran from his granddaughter. I think Dusty Don, was it? Well, if you have the letter, Kevin, you should remember the name. Yeah, I should remember a lot of things. Sorry, Dusty. And it was a little girl who broke open her piggy bank to save lives at the Canyon County Animal Shelter. You can win a ton of awards. You can be on Fox News and Nancy Grace. And those people are great, but they're not like you and me. They're not like you and me. And why am I so hard on our public officials? Because they're there to protect us. They're there for us. You know, there was a time, and I talk about it, and I always kind of joke, well, I used to be on this. But we all make choices in life. I'm very blessed to live here. I'm very blessed that the management 5 years ago said, hey, let's talk to this guy. When, again, thanks to the administration, don't believe me, you can Google it, or you can buy the book Shut Up America, page 184, I believe, where it talks about Kevin Miller having the ability to speak, and that was taken away. My livelihood was taken away. But, you know, it made me a better person. To this day, I have the fear of losing my home. I have the fear of losing my job. We are all living in the economy of fear when we have the president who would rather go on a fundraiser than actually worry about the kids at the border. And we all have to come together. And it's much easier, as Mr. Troupa says, to kind of just
go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Look, you see it on the news where it's entertainment reporting. It's entertainment reporting. And there were many times, and, you know, John Mounts, the character who Sweet William is based on, said to me, you know, you're much more effective on television. And all you would have to do, and I had a television show, a cable show every night, 300,000 people in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was broadcast all over the state on the Pennsylvania Cable News, my radio show was. But you have to make a decision in life. Yeah, I'd have to drop a few pounds, although I tried to reinvent the television persona by saying, hello, everybody, I'm television's favorite fat man. That didn't go over too well, but they liked me. But there comes a point when you have to figure out what you love to do, what is your passion, where can you make a difference. And you make a difference every day by listening to this program. You make a difference every day that if I, you know, suggest, hey, can you see us at Lionheart Tactical coming out there and getting ammunition? Because that reinforces the credibility of what we have here. You make a difference when you adopt an animal, when you donate food. One of my favorite people in the world, he is such a giver, is Patriot Ray and his family. I'm locked up there in the Canyon County Animal Shelter. He comes out like every day, or his family or his friends come out every day to donate food. He inspired me to give. That's what it's about. So you can be on the grand scale. Maybe that's why I have an issue with Congressman Labrador. Look, being on Meet the Press is okay, but it doesn't move the needle in Meridian. It doesn't move the needle in the 1st Congressional District. It really doesn't. And it took some maturity on my part to realize this. You may not like Congressman Simpson, but if you heard our interview with him yesterday, and by the way, we'll share that with you this week, or you can go to our podcast yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:30. That guy is working at the INL. He's working to save the potatoes. He's making sure that people have gigs and jobs, whether he's establishment or not. That's the ROI, the return on investment. Some people will say it's small ball, but every day people do that. Every day people make a difference, like Rachel Ray.
Hey there, everyone, at Canyon County Animal Shelter in Caldwell, Idaho. I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, and I wanted to say congratulations. You guys are this year's community engagement winner of this year's ASPCA, Rachel Ray, $100,000 challenge. I'm amazed at what we all achieved in this year's contest. Over 56,000 animal lives were saved by all of the competing shelters. You guys are rock stars at Canyon County. You saved 1,868 lives in just 3 months. Way to go. You did it by getting your community involved from the start, and you guys are going to save more and more lives as you move forward. I love seeing your pictures of your purple chains of life streamers running across the shelter and all the great photos of families and their new pets. Congratulations again to your staff, your volunteers, the community members. You all work together and so hard for these animals. I cannot wait to see what you all do next.
There we have it. Cut the music, Jimmy. There you have it. Coming together. And yes, that doesn't sell newspapers, but that's our lives here together. And sometimes we don't acknowledge that, but back to that little girl. Here's somebody, instead of buying the latest MP3 player, saved lives. And when people ask me what this program's about, yeah, we do talk about, we can talk about the fuel tax, we can talk about Add the Worlds, we can all talk about that, but we can make a difference. And on this Tuesday morning, I thought it was long overdue to acknowledge the differences that you've made. And it's never me. And I catch myself all the time. It is we. It is we here in the morning. Coming up next, we will take a look at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Take a look at a couple of issues. Number one, whether or not people driving hybrids should have to pay a user fee in honor of the Peterson Toyota Prius Week with Kevin Miller. And you protest, breaking and entering or trespassing. You break a law and you don't get punished? What's that about? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
A judge sentenced nearly 24 Add the Words protesters in Ada County. Many were charged with trespassing after a series of demonstrations at the State House during the legislative session.
We disobey and then we take our consequences, and we understand there's a price tag involved.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay because I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight.
What we did very carefully. We knew we had to be perfect and how peaceful, silent, respectful, and focused on why it was we were there.
For those that like the same sex, had the characteristics.
The Add the Words campaign cost taxpayers $24,000 for added troopers to respond.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, there we have it. The brilliance of Ray Amaya here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. I mean, one of the hottest acts going, Macklemore, Macklesnapper, whatever his name is, talking about he can't figure it out whether he's gay or not. Well, we're not even talking about that. We're not going Tony Dungy, by the way. If you're in the sports world, and do we have our sports intro here from Chris Troupas?
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, the next time you see Chris Troupas, you should say that. He'll know how many people actually listen to this program. However, there's a big head football coach, the first black football coach to win a Super Bowl, Tony Dungy, an all-star standout. He actually was a member of the last two 70 Super Bowl teams as a backup defensive back, I believe. Tony Dungy, a devout Christian, devout family man, big announcer with NBC, big star. So he was asked, hey, what would you hire Michael Sam? Michael Sam, the first openly gay football player. Of course, Michael Sam says that it's private. Then he publicly comes out of the closet. To me, Michael Sam knew that he wasn't going to make it in the NFL, so he had to come up with something. Not saying that he's not gay. I'm sure he is gay. But if you want to be appreciated for who you are, for your athletic talents, do you really need to publicize this? It's a question. I think it's a legitimate question. And unfortunately, and this is one thing that I think might bolster conservative talk radio or news talk radio, and maybe you know this amongst your sons. I know my younger brother, who's in his mid-30s, he doesn't listen to talk radio, but he listens to the sports radio. Maybe your husband does as well. They're all flipping libs. They're all libs on sports radio. They're all libs. It's like Hollywood. They're attacking Tony Dungy for saying, I think I'd pass on this guy. It's going to be a circus, and things happen they always do. Is that homophobic? Is that bigoted? Of course not. Now we have these folks, and sooner or later we'll get the former senator on, former candidate for Congress, Senator Lefevre, to come back. Look, they had a big hearing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Whether or not, you cost the state $24,000, should they have to pay restitution? Shouldn't you have to pay if you go in, Ray Amaya, Dave Burnett, and Kevin Miller go in and hang out in the governor's ceremonial office, we're going to be stuffed and cuffed, not so politely, not in front of the TV cameras, shown the door, charged for being in there, and have to pay a fine, right? But everything is PC. So we'll talk about the sentencing of the Add the Words folks, and we'll find out again your thoughts on what Tony Dungy said. I'm not in favor. I would not hire Michael Sam. I wouldn't. That's what he said. And now he's talking about homophobic, saying that he's a homophobe, comparing the gay rights movement to the civil rights movement. I don't know a lot of civil rights icons that would equate that to the same thing, because thankfully we don't have what happened in the 60s in the South happening in America today. And by the way, just as an antidote to the Macklemore song here.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
No, that was the wrong clip, Sweet William.
Ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s and I'm down with the ladies.
Anytime you can share the erudite thoughts of that great Western philosopher Tone Loc, it's not such a bad day. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
News. Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, it is that season, the fire season. Joining us now to discuss, Dave Olson with the Boise National Forest. Mr. Olson, thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
All right, let's give it to us. What's going on?
Well, the good news is that the Whiskey Complex, which is just east of the Garden Valley, progress is being made every day. Containment is now estimated at 50%. The fire really has not moved for the past day or so, and there's just a focus on wrapping up a couple of the flanks. The south flank and the east flank needs some work, and that's where the focus has been. But overall, it's coming along very well to getting full containment.
How does the fire season this year compare to last year?
Well, so far this year we're somewhat similar to last year. We had a series of fires in the middle part of July last year up toward Idaho City, ironically enough, so kind of in the same area. Of course, on the early August time frame, we had the very large fire that started August 8th that was called the Elk Complex, which ended up burning a couple hundred thousand acres total between that and another fire. So we're kind of on track. In fact, we were talking just yesterday about what the potential is for large fire growth days. There was an analysis that was done. And between now and the end of July, there are potential 4 days where you can see large fire growth. And then in particular in August, there's a probability of 10 days out of the month where you can see large fire growth on any given day. And that would mean 1,500 acres or more. And the statistics are that on the Boise National Forest, 40% of our fires actually occur in August. So we're still, quote, kind of a little early in the fire season, and we still have August ahead of us.
How are we doing as far as the resources to fight the fires? I know that's always a concern as we get later into the season, sir.
That is correct. And we are actually very fortunate. We have about 20 hotshot crews on this particular fire. Those are kind of the stronger crews, although many of the crews are very good. But we were able to hold on to those. The focus really is to use those crews to get this fire out, and then they can be deployed to other fires. Of course, as we've been talking about in the news, the Northwest has been heavily hit with a number of fires. But really, we have 1,100 people on this fire with crews and engines. We have 10 helicopters. And so there's a pretty strong resource pool right now in this particular fire.
When we take a look at not only the hot shots, but the equipment as well, the flame retardant, the airplanes. I know that's always a concern considering there have been cutbacks in the last few years.
Yeah, we actually on the Boise National Forest are fully staffed with what our resources have been for several years now. We have multiple engines in different locations. We still have two helicopters, one that's rappel capable so you could drop firefighters through helicopter rappels down into fire areas. So we're actually really pretty strong, or just, you know, we're at a normal level really for what we've had for a number of years now in the Boise National Forest.
Mr. Olson, can you describe the work of the hot shots, how dangerous it is, how exhausting it is?
Well, any firefighter that's out working on a fire is always challenged. You know, there's just the multiple things that go into the difficulties of the job. So first you have fires that could be in remote locations, so you may have to walk great distance to get in there. The terrain, as we know, in the mountains could be very steep. It could be very rugged. You could be dealing with, you know, large logs, rocky areas in certain situations. And then you just bring in those factors that are then amplified with challenges of intense fire, lots of smoke, very hot conditions. So it's definitely a tough job. And it's one that I think the fire crews understand when they get into the job. And one of the things that we try to do from a management standpoint is just to ensure that safety is always looked at and is a very strong priority. And that's really in everybody's mind. It's obvious, but the fact that an acre of ground is certainly not worth somebody's life. So we're always very cautious, really talk a lot about safety aspects of fighting fire. And that goes with the public also. We had a community meeting last night in Centerville. We'll be having another community meeting tonight in Garden Valley. And you know, one of the things that we do is put into place closure areas oftentimes around fires, and that's just to ensure that there's nobody out there that could get trapped or caught if the fire was to make a run. So we try to do two things. One, public safety, and then certainly firefighter safety.
Well, certainly in lieu of the recent tragedies, safety has been a concern and has to be a priority in valuing the land versus the value of human life.
Definitely. I mean, really every fire, public and firefighter safety is the number one objective, and so that's just part of the job without question.
Do they have to make an assessment when it's time to go? Does that come from the high command, or, you know, sometimes we hear...
When it's time to go to a fire? I'm not quite sure I understand that.
When it's time to get the hell out.
Oh. well, there's all firefighters go through a lot of training. There's fire school just from the very beginning, and then, you know, having the advice and counsel of senior firefighters for new firefighters.
Sure.
So really, firefighting is a team effort, and one of the things that goes into determining, you know, if you should be in a certain place at a certain time or if you should leave a place at a certain time, it starts really from your training. Secondly, it's tied to what's the current situation. So there's briefings every morning so everyone has an understanding of what the weather is, what the fire behavior characteristics might be, where people are going to be placed, what are the risks or situations they might be facing. So there's a lot of factors that go into actually developing, you know, experience, training, understanding of what's going on before you even actually get out to the fire site. Then on the fire itself, there are safety officers, there are lookouts, components of saying we want to ensure that we know where the fire is, what the fire is doing, and we're able to operate safely. The challenge, of course, is fire is it's fickle. Things can change very quickly, and that's where you know, the challenges can come at different times. But there is a very strong foundation to try to operate safely on a given fire on a given day.
Is there anything else you would like to tell the public, perhaps, if their land is near the forest? You know, a couple of years ago we had some people in Eagle that were very concerned about their homes being burned up. We had, I think it was featured on one of the TV stations, where someone actually had the correct length as far as the barriers from their home, and the fire burned all around them, but their home was saved.
Yeah, without question, the whole fire management situation in the West is it really requires a number of different components, and the homeowner is one of those key components of managing fire. So firefighters could go ahead and come in and put the fire out. But if a firefighter comes to a given area where homes are and the home itself is not really defensible, then they're going to have to spend time in defending the home and really not putting the fire out. And I could cite an example. Last year there was a fire up toward the Lucky Peak Reservoir that burned around a couple of homes as you go over the high top area on Highway 21. And a fire engine captain I was talking to said when he came up to that fire and to a home, the home had a lot of green grass and had very defensible space around there. And he said, you know, this is really nice to be able to actually fight the fire and not have to just defend the home. So he was focusing on trying to get the fire out. And he said he compared that to a fire that he went to earlier out in the Highway 16 or Emmett area. And he said, you know, instead of trying to put the fire out, they had to really focus on saving that structure. So if a homeowner could do things ahead of time, and you know, that's been talked about a lot for folks that live out in the rural areas, to clear area around their houses, if you have green grass, that's very helpful. Move firewood, you know, rake pine needles, all that kind of stuff is extremely helpful and very important to saving a person's home or property or their structures.
Mr. Olson, we really appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, thanks for having me.
All right, Dave Olson with us here from the Boise National Forest. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the border. And one governor says enough is enough, and he's sending in the National Guard. Who is it? Find out next with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Time to get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Got to give props to Texas Governor Rick Perry, who has decided to stand up for America. That is correct. Governor Perry yesterday said that he's going to deploy 1,000 Texas National Guard troops over the next month to the Texas-Mexican border to try and stop the assault, the invasion that has continued throughout the last month. So people say, you know, it's funny, the rabble rouser, the Boise rabble rouser, sent me an email saying, well, President Bush had this law. We've never seen the amount of people coming into this country illegally. And why? Because the message was sent 2 years ago by the president when he said, give me your tired, your, no, he didn't. He said, you come to this country, we will make sure that you get the Dream Act. We will make sure that you're there. We will make sure that you get into the country legally. How else, why else would you have people that would risk everything, including their beautiful children? And by the way, to fly Bri, and I disagree on this one. You know, I don't think any parent in their right mind would send their kid unaccompanied across the border.
Troops that I am deploying will support the state-led border surge by acting as a force multiplier on the ground and providing additional air assets beyond their current efforts. The price of inaction is too high for Texans to pay. Now, fortunately, we're already seeing results from Operation Strong Safety. From week one to week three, apprehensions have dropped 36% from more than 6,600 per week to 4,200 per week in that area of operation. This is a clear indication that the increased patrol presence and the coordinated law enforcement efforts between our local, state, and federal partners, including the Department of Public Safety personnel, our Texas Parks and Wildlife wardens, and others, are having a deterrent effect on criminal and illegal activity along the border. This idea that somehow or another there's a militarization going on is frankly a little offensive to the folks of the National Guard who travel to the border on a regular basis to help. And this is about border security.
There we have it. Finally, somebody saving America. Liberal Steve joins us now at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller.
Oh, yeah. Governor Rick Perry. I was a Democrat for the majority of my political life, and then I became a Republican because my tummy can hold more than my pelican. Come on. 6,000 to 4,000. Big deal. The other 2,000 just went a little farther to the east or a little farther to the west and crossed. Come on, Kevin. Come on, stop with this illegal. Everybody stop with the illegal. We need these people. We need fresh blood in America. We need a melting pot. I was up yesterday touring the fires up all the way from Loman all the way over to Banks. All I saw, Kevin, was green card South American people putting out fires. Then I watched the news when I get home on 6+1, and everybody hacking away at the ashes and walking down the trails were Mexican. So you're not going to stop it. We need more people in America that take these jobs. And, you know, these people are all going to die young. You know why? Because forest fires put out tons and tons of mercury. And they're up there inhaling that. Not like 911 where the country comes together and want these people to get medical attention. No, these are illegals fighting fires, and they're going to die alone from all this lead and mercury that they're inhaling. But who cares, right? Come on. Rick Perry's a joke. He couldn't even remember what he wanted to get rid of during the debate.
Now, some people say that you're a joke because you've made a lot of unsubstantiated, non-backed-up speculation that you cannot possibly have us believe that it's credible.
Non-substantial BS. It's all substantial.
Did you go up and ask those folks for their papers?
I don't need to ask the people.
Well, then how do you know? How do we know that you're telling the truth?
Okay, you and I'll take a trip over to Paul's Market.
I'm not taking a trip anywhere.
Over to Paul's Market.
I'm not going anywhere with you. And you know, these inflammatory statements do not benefit the process.
And every cash register was
Oh my goodness.
Checking out.
We've gone from the grocery store to the firefighting front lines. Only on this program. 72 in Nampa at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, more on the border and add the word. Stay tuned, 580KIDO. Serving Emmett.